This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Well, last week on Cross Hope, we finished a 9-part series from the book of Proverbs. Certainly wasn't a complete study of the book of Proverbs, but 9 messages that we called street credibility, having to do with practical issues about life on the street. If you were a part of that, you remember we talked about wisdom, looking at life from God's point of view. We talked about love and faithfulness, probably 2 of the most important words in your life. We talked about the blueprint for life that involves guarding your heart because it's the wellspring of life. 7 things that God hates was another issue we talked about. Adultery, Proverbs 5, 6, and 7 deal with that topic exclusively. Integrity, the tongue, what we do with our tongue in terms of how we speak to people. And last week we talked about friendship, 5 principles from Proverbs 27. Today we begin a new series from the book of Ecclesiastes, right after the book of Proverbs, written by Solomon. It's quite a cynical book, but I think it will speak to you in a powerful way. God bless you as you listen to part 1 today. And today we're going to study a book of the Bible that says this: everything's meaningless. Very cynical book. Everything's meaningless. And the author, Solomon, is right. Everything is meaningless without the Lord. For John Hopkins University surveyed nearly 8,000 college students at 48 universities and asked what they considered very important to their lives. What do you think these college students said? Make a lot of money, get married, get a job, buy a home? So only 16% answered making a lot of money, but a whopping 75% said that their first goal was finding a purpose and meaning to my life. Isn't that interesting? 75% of 8,000 college students at 48 different universities said, my first goal is to find purpose and meaning to life. Well, that survey is absolutely right. I want to share this with you from a man by the name of Tom. He's under 18 years of age. I can't believe how cynical he is at such a young age, but here's what he writes. He's from Annapolis, Maryland. I believe that life is meaningless. Humans as a race are a mistake. You're a mistake, and so am I, according to him. But there are other species that do happen to have a reason to exist. For example, bees are completely necessary for the survival of the entire planet's survival. Humans, on the other hand, have no such productive purpose in the world. All that we do is consume and produce waste that will eventually kill us. We are insignificant. We are nothing. Without being able to do anything in life, there's no point in life. Life is meaningless. It's a morbid thought, but it's completely true. I hope to God he's not right, because my life has meaning because of Jesus Christ, and so does yours. My life has meaning because of the one who lives in me, not because of anything I do, anything I've done, anything I might do in the future. It has meaning because of the one who lives in me and lives in you, and it's the Lord God Almighty through his Son, Jesus Christ. We're going to read a cynical passage of Scripture. It's the first chapter of Ecclesiastes. The easiest way to find it in the Old Testament, just open up your Bible basically to the middle, to Psalms or Proverbs, go to the next book, Ecclesiastes. Solomon is the accredited author. And we begin with verse 1 of chapter 1. The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What does man gain from all his labor, at which he toils under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. And all things are wearisome. Some of you came to church feeling weary today, that your life is nothing but weariness.
Well, we'll continue this first message from a new series called Futile from the book of Ecclesiastes. Our website is crosshope.org.
You say, what a cynical passage of Scripture. You're absolutely right. It is cynical. But let me tell you this. There's some of you that believe what Solomon did. And remember, Solomon, in all his wisdom, in all his glory, and all his 1,000 wives, didn't know the Christ of the cross. He didn't know that.
He didn't hear about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. He didn't know about grace. He never heard about mercy and forgiveness. He had an appreciation for the Lord. We'll find that out in a few minutes when we read the last chapter, or a few verses from the last chapter. But he didn't know Christ, and you do, hopefully. And he's the one who gives meaning to life. I read an interesting article by a Jennifer from Boston, Massachusetts, just outside of Boston. She was a professionally trained person in the ballet. I know nothing about ballet, but I thought what she wrote was interesting. She said because of all her ballet training, she can be at the mall, and a young lady or a woman will walk toward her, and she said, I can tell within 5 to 10 seconds if that woman has had training in the ballet. She walks differently. Her center of gravity is different, the way she holds her chin. And I found that intriguing, that you could look at a person in 5 seconds and determine that woman has been in ballet. Wouldn't it be great if you could spot Christians like that? See somebody at the mall and say, he's a believer. She's a Christian over there, I can tell. And that's not the case, because sometimes we're surprised both ways. The people we think might be believers aren't, and the people we think that aren't are the believers in life. But here's what she said. This woman is now a mother. And she talks about the repetitive nature of ballet training, you know, over and over, over and over, the same moves. And then the repetition of being a young mother. I found it fascinating. Here's what she says. I gave birth some time ago, but I'm still becoming a mother. Bend, lift, twist, sing, feed, bathe, repeat a billion times. Tell stories, clean messes, change diapers, repeat a zillion times. Simple actions compose the active structure of motherhood. Teach all that you know, be the very best that you can. Guide, enjoy, prepare, relax, breathe, encourage, accept. The refining process of motherhood is not so unlike the training of being a ballerina. It takes discipline and effort. It takes courage. It requires support. It demands faith and stamina to repeat the sequence in all of its refining power yet again. Being a mother is not a job. It's not a passing phase of life. Mothering is my life. And like any other human interaction and art, like the ballerina, changes are made somewhere deep in the core of whom and what you are, in the memory of the muscles, the heart, and the spirit. Now, this is interesting. Jennifer says that there's a repetitive nature to being a mother. Let me tell you this. There's a repetitive nature to everything in life. You get up. You have breakfast. You go to work. You come home. You go to bed to get up, to go to work. And you know the routine. And you know what? There can be a futility in that for many people. I'm just doing the same old, same old. Have you ever used that expression when somebody asked you what's going on in your life? Same old, same old. And you know, sometimes it's meant as an offhanded remark, but sometimes it's a confession of despair. Same old, same old. Well, all this week, the first message in a new series called Futile from the book of Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. To listen to this message again, or any other message for that matter, on Crosshope. God bless you. Hope you'll listen tomorrow.
Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, everything is meaningless. What does man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. I do a lot of funerals, and there's nothing that gives me a sense of the transitory nature of life than going to a cemetery. Think about that. Every time I walk through a cemetery, every time I lay my eyes on a headstone and I see a date of birth and a date of death, I recognize this is where it ends. This is what life is about. As morbid as it sounds, we're living to be buried in a very real sense. We're living on this earth to be buried someday. And that's why it's so important to know the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. That's why I need that, not because it just pops me up emotionally and props me up emotionally. It's because that's where the hope is. I need the one who is the resurrection and the life. I need the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. His name is Jesus. And the next time you walk through a cemetery, the next time you drive by a cemetery, look at the headstones and remind, this is the end. This is the end of where man goes in life. But I'm a Christian, I'm a believer in Christ, and that is not the end. Eternal life doesn't begin at the cemetery. Eternal life began the moment you said, Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. That's when eternal life began, when you said Jesus was Lord of your life. Dana Weider was a surgeon in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He said, early in my professional experience, I was asked to see a young woman who said she'd been crying for days, and at last had decided she would commit suicide. Parenthetically, 40,000 people a year commit suicide in this country. 400,000 people attempt it. Just saw that statistic this week. 400,000 people a year in the United States attempt suicide. 40,000 succeed with that. So this woman says, I'm thinking about committing suicide. He shocked her, Dr. Weider did, by saying this. Well, why don't you? She was stunned. Why don't you commit suicide? Here was a woman married with two children in moderate wealth. It seemed there was nothing she could possibly want, yet she was unhappy and wanted to terminate it all. It created a response in her that did kind of snap her emotionally when she had the doctor say, why don't you commit suicide? He said, at some time or another, I think we all ask the question, why do we go on another day with the monotony, the disillusionment, the unhappiness, and the futility? Too many people are disillusioned, unhappy, restless, and find life futile. The effect of this attitude is so disturbing that so many people do need to have psychiatric treatment or medication. And some do go so far as to attempt suicide. Anyone who does any thinking at all must come face to face sometime in your life with the question, what is life's purpose and why am I so restless and disturbed? I believe this restlessness is normal and springs from the very nature of man. And hopefully your restlessness and your feeling of futility is not something that drives you away from the Lord, but get this, brings you to Him. Don't let the futility in your life pull you away from the Lord. Let it bring you to Him. Bring you to His Son, Jesus Christ.
Well, the book is called Ecclesiastes. The series is called Futile, discussing the meaning of life as written by Solomon. It's an interesting book to study. It's a more interesting book to live. We'll continue this series tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website is crosshope.org.
Don't let the futility in your life pull you away from the Lord. Let it bring you to His Son, Jesus Christ. It's been a long time since I've read a story like this by a young lady by the name of Crystal. She's from Hot Springs, Arkansas. She talks about her life as a child, and you talk about desperate situation as a child. It's been a long time since I've read a story like this. My past was so difficult. My life is still difficult. There was a time that our family had no food, no place to live, and all I remember is neglect. Isn't that amazing for a young woman to say, all I remember from my childhood is the word neglect. I can remember when I was little, our family had no electricity, no hot water, or food. One time, we had to go to a laundromat just to fill up 2-liter bottles with water, just so we could have something to drink. Talk about depressing, having to go to a laundromat with your family and fill up empty 2-liter bottles just so you can have water to drink, but that's what Crystal grew up with. I was separated from my mother at a young age and was forced to live with relatives. I'm embarrassed about my past. I don't talk about it then or now. But then she goes on to explain in her relationship with the Lord, this is interesting, how she came to the place that she was never going to fly, using that metaphorically. I'm never going to fly. I'm never going to walk on water. I just need to learn how to walk on this earth. The Lord God Almighty gave her the strength not to fly, not to walk on water, just to walk on earth. There are people here today, it's not a question of you getting your greatest dream fulfilled. It's a question of, can you make it till tomorrow? Isn't it? not a question of you getting a PhD or winning the lottery or getting the house you've always wanted or getting the job you've always wanted. It's just, can I make it through next Friday? That's what most people have to deal with. I want to share with you that hope, the only hope we have is in Christ. I want you to look at the last chapter of this book, even though we're going to take weeks to look at Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, the 13th verse. I want to jump to the chase here. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Solomon did not know Christ, but he knew intuitively that the way we were to live then was to fear God and keep His commandments. If that's true, not knowing Christ, how much more true is it? Because we do know the Lord. To fear God means not to cringe in fear. It means to honor Him. It means to recognize His authority. To fear God means to recognize the role He plays in your marriage. You ever think about fearing God, what it means? It means that you recognize you need the Lord in your life to raise your children. That's fearing God. Fearing God means you recognize that you're not going to make it another week financially without Him. That's fearing God. Fearing God is recognizing that if there's any hope for my son, there's any hope for my daughter and her life and what they're dealing with, they're struggling with, it's in the Lord. That's what it means to fear the Lord. And I'm here to tell you today that Jesus Christ is the one, not the thing, but the one who gives meaning to life. You don't need anything in your life to be happy, but you do need Christ in your life. And you need the forgiveness of Christ, and you need the meaning that the Lord gives to a meaningless existence, and the mundane existence, the repetition existence, repetitive existence of life.
Well, our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
I don't know what you know or don't know, because I don't know much more than you do about it, and a term called existentialism. It's a term, a philosophy of life that basically teaches that life is just what you make of it on earth. When you die, that's it. A lot of people have been raised to believe that. A lot of people come to the place in their life where that's what they do believe, that if there's anything good going to happen in my life, it's up to me. It's what I make of it. If there's anything positive going to come out of life, it's up to me. And some of you may be here today and you honestly believe that if anything positive is going to happen in your career, in your life, in your marriage, it's up to you. But that's a depressing way to live. Frank is from Syracuse, New York. He writes about being an existentialist, and he uses this term. I was a confirmed existentialist. I believed in the futility of everything about life, very pessimistic about the future and that life was just totally meaningless. But something happened to him, get this, one Christmas by being at a church. I'm amazed at what the Lord can do with Christmas. In terms of the incarnation, Jesus Christ becoming man. John 1:14 said, God became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the incarnation, God becoming flesh. I want you to listen to what Frank writes. I was a confirmed existentialist. I accepted the futility of our life, where we live. He was cynical about everything. Nothing was worth living for. Absolutely nothing. But the incarnation offered me a new beginning, an opportunity to cast off the spiritual weariness that was weighing my soul down. I found in Christ the link between humankind and the divine. The story of the baby in the manger reconnected me with my Creator, intent on loving me in a very personal way. The Word becoming flesh, John 1:14, also lent permanence to my finite life. For as a believer now, the death and resurrection of Christ assures salvation in a dimension apart from my temporal and transitory existence on this earth. His reign extends beyond time and space. And he quotes a line from a Bob Dylan song. I love this. Bob Dylan wrote a song, when you've got nothing, you've got nothing to lose. When you've got nothing, you've got nothing to lose. And he said, what an existential statement that is. He says, similarly, I've come to feel that when you've got nothing, when you believe in nothing, you can have Christ. And when you trust in him, you have everything. What a statement. Bob Dylan said, when you've got nothing to lose. That describes the average person in the United States of America in 2013. When you've got nothing to lose. And what describes you and me, hopefully, is that we've got Christ. We have everything. Folks, life is meaningless. It is. It's a chasing after the wind. It's repetitive. It's boring. It can be monotonous, as some of you have discovered. But when the one came along that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life, he that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. If those statements are true, then there is no meaning to life without him. That's what I want you to go home with today. What would I tell somebody in 2013 who says life is meaningless? I would say, you're absolutely right. What would I tell the cynic who said there's nothing in life worth living for? Dead on. Absolutely right. Without Christ, you're absolutely right. He's the hope. He's the reason to get up in the morning. He's the reason to face life and, yes, to face death. You face life and death differently because of the one who lives in you. His name is Jesus. Let's pray to him right now.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.